two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lemonada.
Wake up, wake up.
Hey.
Wake up, wake up.
Hey.
I said, wake up, wake up. You're listening to Mouthpiece with Michael Bennett.
And Pele Bennett. Finding what is authentic. Like that word authentic, it's like, I think it kind of like disappeared, you know?
It sure did.
For a long time now. And if you really think about it, like, what does that word mean and what does it mean to you as a person and things that you're trying to do in life for yourself, for your family, for your loved ones? I think, like, re-grounding yourself and figuring out what is authentic within your being, within your work, you know, whatever your work is, if it's a creative work, if it's, you know, your job, your career, your passion, like, what is authentic to you?
But that's interesting, though, because people don't know what's it's hard to be authentic when you have other people's depend. And it's kind of weird, though, because like I feel like we're at the stage and where our life is like, if we feel like something is we don't want to do, we can't go, like, it's OK to have that power. But sometimes I feel like as individuals, we don't want to tell people no. And then we end up doing something that does really validate who we truly are. Like, we really are Manchurian candidates. Like, we were reading the Bible today and it was saying that it was talking about, like, being a stranger, right? And asking for help. And I think a lot of us are looking in the mirror and we're seeing a stranger, but we really don't know how to ask for help. Like, we forgot what we like. We forgot what we do with the music. And it's like, I don't know. It's just a weird combination when I look in around the world and I'm kind of just seeing the reflection, like, of seeing, like, the other, on a couple of weeks ago when you were talking about even, like, the value of, like, the NFL. Like, you know, it's like, it's just one of those things where you just kind of, like, look and you're just like, what is the true value of the fan experience? What's really the true value? Like, at what point do you do something so much that you become it, right? Right? Like, you become the character that you started to, that you in the role that you kind of are in. Like, I'm in this role, so I got to have that character. Like, and then if you are out, and
but it's also, you're feeling the pressures of those expectations,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I feel like when you're starting to feel pressures of expectations, you have to really go back again and figure out whose expectations are those. Cause sometimes you are assuming it's, you know, someone else's, but really it's your own that you're putting on yourself. And those are not, you know, achievable. You're not going to reach those because they're made up.
Yeah, that's true.
You're making up these fake expectations that nobody ever was really wanting out of you. And so now it's like to go back and really feel like, what is it that I want for myself before, you know, taking someone else's perceptions on?
That's such a profound statement that came from my wife. Y'all heard that first here on Mouthpiece. But yeah, it is thoughtful, though, because what really is who we are? I ask everybody that question. Who are you really? What do you really like? What is your true hobbies? What are things that you really want to do in life? Like,
you know what? That actually makes me think about it, because I know a lot of times, me personally, I'm like, you know, we have so many thoughts and influences in our head from different sources. I think that it is important to talk it out with someone, two people, because then those ideas just kind of float around in your head and mm-hmm. just kind of stay stagnant and still and don't have anything to come out from. It's like it doesn't change, right? Mm-hmm. Like if I read something and I don't talk to you about it, my thought in my head could just stay the same. But if I talk with you, then we'll kind of think about it. I'm like, oh, you know what? That's a different perspective. That's a different idea about it. I think, like, sometimes, you know, coming back to your own being is to journal, because we have so many conversations with other people. We have ideas and things that we see through the news, social media, TV, movies, music. You know, sometimes it's like going back to the beginning and being in your own thoughts, but writing it down and just kind of journaling your thoughts on a daily, just to kind of have that conversation with yourself, not you know, making you sound like a crazy person. But just kind of like sometimes you don't need all the outside when you're trying to get in a creative zone. You really just need yourself. And sometimes we want those outsources for people to be like, hey, like we need inspiration. We need
yeah.
this. And it's like people actually don't.
People aren't inspired by themselves anymore, basically. What
yeah,
you're
I'm like you can be inspired. Of course, you walk outside your house into a beautiful, you know, grassy area. You might get inspired from the clouds. Like I see that. But sometimes it's like also try and just being in your own self and journaling those thoughts and daily things that you're just thinking randomly and kind of go back into like your own brain and know that you are, you know, you can be your own inspiration, that can be your own motivator to come out with your new creative, you know, whatever that is through your work and through your passion.
That's so true. Because yesterday I accomplished a lot, people, all my listeners. And
pat
listeners,
yourself on the back.
I accomplished a lot, but there was only one thing that I truly enjoyed that I accomplished. Me and Pele put the bike rack on the back of the car and we put the bikes on there correctly. We had been tying the bikes on there. We've been tying them wrong and we did it. I was so inspired, but it was like those simple things, the amount of stuff that, even though I did like so many different things at that moment, tying the bike around that and getting the thing on there, I was so inspired. So I do think you can get inspired by yourself. And I think Pele is definitely right about us getting out of our own prison, right? Because we formed this prison of ourselves and this prison. The being that we used to be is in prison right now. And everything on the shell of us is not really us. It's a really big facade. And I think we have to ungel ourselves, unleash our true beings, unleash our true selves, unleash what we truly are passionate about and not try to be into the group, right? When is it cool to be an outlier again and really have your own true free thoughts and free spirited? It's like the people who say or really want to be that way are being ostracized. And it's like, if you don't fall in line with the way that things are supposed to be, if you're an NFL player and you take a knee or you do this and people are like, oh my God, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. If you're a wife and you're doing more than what you're doing, more than people are like, well, you're doing too much. It's like, there's no bitch, be you. Motherfucker, be you. Be you. Be you. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. We're going to go have some drinks or something, chill for a second.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. After season one aired, I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. And of course, my 90-year-old mom, Judy. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me Season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Hi, I'm June Diane Raphael.
And I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And we would like to invite you on a hilarious and heartfelt journey each week on The Deep Dive. From navigating the chaos of motherhood and family to exploring the depths of grief and loss, we are just two best friends who process life together and with you guys. Discover our secrets to finding joy amidst the madness and get ready for unfiltered conversations about life, love, and everything in between. And nails. We talk a lot about nails. Now, community is everything to us at The Deep Dive. We believe in the power of connection and the strength that comes from supporting one another, and we would love to have you with us. So be sure to join us every Wednesday on The Deep Dive from Lemonada Media, wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to say that, you know, I feel like music these days isn't the same anymore. I was thinking about this the other day when I was listening to music, like, or like just like artistry is not the same anymore. As far as like, I feel like before, like in the 1970s, 60s, 80s, 90s, well, or maybe I'm wrong, but maybe music is representing how society really is right now. But sometimes I listen to music and it's like, I'm not getting, it's like Lauryn Hill's like, music is supposed to inspire. You know what I'm saying? Like, why aren't people getting higher no more off the music? Like, I was listening to Curtis Mayfield and just like, it just seems like the music back then, whether it's rock and roll or whatever type of music it is, it just kind of has this influence and this responsibility to society to like lead people, you know, because music is in everybody's ear. And I don't know. I just think it. And we were listening to what Kanye said the other day when he was watching that little Big Boy. And he was talking about, like, the contradiction that's in music now and how, you know, there's such a big contradiction. Like, the music that you hear, and then one time the person that just sung this song is telling you to do something that's completely illegal. And then you're like, which one am I supposed to do?
Yeah, I think that when I'm hearing you say that, I'm like, oh, my God, you're hitting your aha moment, because I feel like your age is now reflecting the times of now. Like you're saying, like the music now is like all over the place. It's reflecting the times because there is madness. It's so much chaos going on. But then I'm like, I guess every era, the music actually is for that time. Mm-hmm. But because you're getting older, you're getting wiser. So the newer music is not reflecting you as a person that, you know, who you are in this age or in this state.
Maybe that's
but
true.
But like as a young person, you know, in these different eras, and what the world's going through and what we're going through as a young person, I feel like the music does reflect that time. And then now that you can say that as an older person in your 30s, it's like, oh, wait, you're actually getting older and wiser to the music that's coming out now. It isn't for you.
But the problem is that I've always listened to older music, and I feel like there's always been a side of music that's kind of been reflective. Like there's this side of us that's, each individual has this chaotic side and this rebellious side that just wants to do everything against society and just go crazy and be young and be wild and don't have any responsibilities. But I feel like the complete circle of music right now is that. Like, there isn't no half. Like, half of it's like this and the other half like that. Anything that's on the radio now isn't thought-provoking. That's kind of what I'm kind of saying.
No, that's true for as far as, like, thought-provoking. But I think also our limits now, you know, every decade, like, they get pushed further out. So now, you know, we're in 2020, the music to us is like, the new music is like, what the hell are they talking about? Or it's raunchy, or it's, you know, pushing someone outside of their own thinking limits, like behavioral limits. But I think it's because it's getting pushed down even further. So it's like, we're now our parents saying, oh my gosh, this music is just, you know, so many curse words. It's really, you know, pushing you to a narrative to do something outside of your limit.
No, I actually think, I don't know, maybe I disagree with you on this one, because I just feel like, and really I find it odd, because I feel like you would be on my side in this conversation. But I think...
We are also getting older and wiser.
No, I'm just saying, I just think that the music isn't the same, because there's a lot of stuff going on in society. There's
no,
tons of stuff going on.
I'm not saying the music is the same. Okay. But what I'm saying is that music reflects the times.
It's reflecting one side of society. Like, everybody's just kind of left, like, their place of where they had this thought process of things that they would follow. But now it's like one person does this and it just keeps this trickle-down effect. There's nobody in music, like, you know, when Prince used to get on and say something and, like, it would be profound or something like that. I mean, pretty much we have Jay-Z and Beyonce, but, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't say that Beyonce's music is very thought-provoking. I never heard her really drop besides Lemonade, and that was, like, it was her.
But some of that newer music also reflected the times.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like you can pick and choose out of different artists.
Bob says she's never been that type of artist, though. She's never been an artist. She's never been Nina Simone. She's never been Lauryn Hill. She's never been that type of artist that was saying
something. I think she's done some of it, but it's kind of like in a sassy way.
Yeah.
Like a younger, you know, like sassy type of way. And I feel like that actually does make an impression on the youth, because, you know, everyone listens to Beyonce, but the youth, they love her. And so some of her lyrics, you know, from her last album, it did reflect on the times, and people were like, yes, she knows what she's talking about.
It wasn't like Mississippi Goddamn.
I mean, if you're really thinking about going really deep, no, then no.
That's what I'm saying. People are scratching the surface. I feel like if you're in a position like, in that position, like, there has to be, like, you have your commercial album, then you have to have your, sorry, listeners, we getting into this because it's just like music, and I'm hearing my kids repeat certain songs. I'm just like, do you? And it's hard because you have kids who just hear words and they're just regurgitating them. You're like, what the fuck did you just say? Jump up in my car, sucky, sucky, get up out. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. You don't even know what you're saying. You're just saying it because people that just don't care. Like, they're just saying music hasn't, or even artistry, like, it hasn't reflected in such a way that it used to. And I don't know what, I don't know why. I feel like, I think because the world is just built around more individuality and built on people following you, people like, it's like, it doesn't, I don't know, maybe it's not the same. It's like, I don't know. It's like you have to revert back to old music now as much as you. It's like the new music is good. It's like my friend was saying, oh man, Chris Brown is like Michael Jackson. I was like, what?
Wait, who said that?
No, he's saying like as far as fame and that. But then I was like, really, Michael? A lot of Michael Jackson songs are really, really deep. Like, even though he was, you know, he did what he did. But his music, a lot of his songs were really deep.
Don't turn off the podcast now.
But a lot of Michael Jackson songs were deep, though. Like, those artists that were in those positions, their ballads were very strong and their penmanship was very strong.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's the writing.
Yeah.
Like, who are some of the writers now that are behind, you know, some of the big artists?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm asking you.
I don't know. It's not the same no more. But it's so honest that you could, I mean, I know some of the writers like James Funroy and The Dream and people like that are writing a lot of songs, but a lot of their songs that are really big aren't always.
But question to that though, if artists now, what you're saying, like starts putting out these deeper lyrics and these things that are thought provoking, do you think the mass of the people will be like, yes, like we still love the music?
I think people are hungry for that. I think there's definitely people who are hungry for, I think there's enough to be able to mix both, to have songs that are current. Like, I feel like Jay-Z does a great balance of that. He didn't do that before. I think you might be right, because when he was younger, You might have a point. Maybe when he was younger, he was more, the music that he was putting out was more towards the things that he was experiencing. But now maybe he looks back and reflecting on, maybe that was a little bit, he wouldn't take it back, but at the same time, it was a little bit negligent to, you know, share those experiences to still his experiences. But I feel like now he feels like he's more obligated for the culture. If you look at the way that how he responds to certain things. And I think there's people who think that, like, you know, I feel like Oprah kind of is one of those people, but not really as far as like with certain things. But I'm just saying, I don't feel like music and stuff is definitely not how it used to be. And even movies aren't even the same anymore.
Oh, yeah. Film does fall into that line as well.
Yeah. And that's why I've been tuning into Bollywood. Bollywood movies, people, they reflect real shit. That's happening in India right now. I might not understand shit they're saying on that film, but when I watch it, I'm reading the words.
Subtitles.
We have subtitles, but it's like even everything that we hear has to be so surface level.
But I will say, if we're like talking about, you know, film also in this, during the quarantine time, it's like you have the Netflix, you have the Hulu, you have all these different networks that you can pull in other types of, you know, international genres. And I think that's actually really dope that you can do that. Like, because like growing up, my grandmother's Indian, so we watched Bollywood films. Mm-hmm. That was like, I had to go down to Harwin, y'all know that in Houston, go to the little shops, rent the VHS, take it home. But now it's like, we can go on Netflix and I'm like, Mom, you know, what are you watching now? And she loves Korean soap operas. And like, I just think that is beautiful how we can still, you know, and it's almost like a learning curve. Like, we're learning about other cultures through watching their film and watching also like our differences and so many things that we relate to. Because me and Michael watched
Lunchbox was good though. We watched a movie called Lunchbox.
Lunchbox was good. But we watched another popular Bollywood movie and it was just beautiful. Like, the story was really neat. The acting was okay. The dancing was amazing.
I thought the acting was outstanding, but that's just me.
Oh, it was just okay. No, but it was a really good film, and it was a Bollywood film, and it did have subtitles, but it was so much of culture, you know, that actually you can learn from it, to what they're eating, to how they're dressed, to the dancing, you know, to this, even the ceremonial things they're doing of their weddings and different types of
functions. And it's crazy because, like, you know, you look at Apple, you look at Tidal, but then Apple is on a TV streaming, and you look at Netflix, and you look at Hulu, you look at all these HBO, it's like, there's not very many great shows out there right now.
Mm-mm. But we have been watching a few on Apple that we liked watching with the girls also.
I think Apple's done a good job for that. But I was just saying, like, to me, there's just not a lot of movies that are very thought-provoking. And maybe people don't want to deal with the realities in the movies.
Aren't we in the time of instant? Now you want instant gratification. You don't want to have these long conversations on, oh, what did the movie, you know, mean to you? Mm-hmm. Now it's just like, that was great, that was bad. You know, it's like either or. We don't have that anymore.
Like, I feel like a great movie is a movie or something that's great like you have to go back and to really dissect, like, what did you see, the lines of it, like even so music, like when you have great artistry and you listen to it or you look at something and you heard one part of it, then you go back and hear it again and you hear another small nuance in it, and it kind of makes you have that thought about it. But I feel like so much music now, so much of these movies and so much of everything is kind of like you listen to it, you see it, and then you kind of move on. You don't go back and be like, I need to hear that again, I'm not overplaying that again and again. But like stuff like Outkast, like Liberation, you know, that shit came out in the 90s, like, and I'll play that and it's just like the horns, the sounds, the everything in there, the drums, it just sounds like it's better than what's out now, and that's terrible. It's like why isn't it getting better? But maybe you're right though, maybe this the way that the shit is how people are just probably tired of living a life that seems like it's so, the reality, it doesn't seem like it has this freedom in it, and maybe the music makes them feel free.
We'll be right back. More to come after the break.
Welcome to The Dough, where Cash is queen and we hardly know her, but we're still here figuring her out together because, y'all, season two is here. Hosted every week by me, X-Maya. Remember me? I'm going to be talking to all types of people about their relationship to money. I'm talking to reality stars, entrepreneurs, financial experts, and even some of my own friends. Basically, anyone who will get real with me about their dollars, how they make money, how they spend it, and how they save it, because I'm trying to retire early, people. Season two of The Dough is out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't get enough of your favorite Lemonada Media podcasts? By subscribing to Lemonada Premium today, you'll gain access to fun and inspiring bonus content from all of our podcasts across the Lemonada Media Network. As a subscriber, you can listen to never-before-heard interview excerpts between Julia Louis-Dreyfus and her A-plus guests on Wiser Than Me, laugh along with Elise Myers as she and her guests play a rapid-fire questions game on Funny 'Cause It's True, and continue to uncover new ways to make life suck less through our exclusive subscriber audio. Check out a free trial of Lemonada Premium today in the Apple Podcast app by clicking on our podcast logo and then the subscribe button.
But I was going to say, and we're talking about freedom within your creativeness, I feel like with that, the boundaries are almost limitless now. You know, like the way that we can talk about different things going on, we can put things in our music and our art, it's almost limitless. You know, before it was like, oh, taboo to talk on certain topics or types of people or whatever people thought of each other. You know, it was very taboo to touch base on those. People were very sensitive with their opinions and you could offend someone so quickly. But now it's like you are more offensive if you don't talk about it. You know, if you don't include somebody, if you don't say something, now it's more offensive to be like, oh, you need to talk about this. You need to include this in your work. And I think that is a big difference that I've noticed from like 70s, 60s music to now. Now it's like, yes, do it. Talk about it. Push it.
So you're saying that people are forced to talk about more than what they're trying to talk about?
I don't think. Well,
to be more inclusive to everything.
Be inclusive. So yes and no.
But that's the freedom, though. That's the freedom. But that inclusiveness is making the people that think they really are free, they're not really free because they're being so inclusive. They're not really saying what they really feel and how they really thought because they're worried about the opinions of others.
But true
artistry is freedom of speech.
But that's what I'm saying is that before it was offensive to not. Now it's offensive if you don't.
Yeah.
Like that's complete reverse now.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying it made it better, though, because you're right. It's not making it better. It's pushing people into zones that they're not ready for, you know. But at the same time is how do we get those to connect together where you have both sides, where you have the freedom of speaking on that. But then you also are not, you know, forcing it, pushing it. You know, like how do you have a balanced mind and thought of what you're trying to say?
I think it really turns it to like people researching. And I think maybe. And maybe people don't research as much as music, because I was telling my brother the other day about albums. I was saying I was looking at some of the rock albums like Pink Floyd, right? I was like, man, look at Pink Floyd's album, the timeline between their albums. Like it's like 5 years between each album. It's like they take so much time before they even put anything out. Like now it's like some artists like Drake, they've dropped 3-4 albums in 1 year. Like it's like the stuff that you would throw out and you'd be like, that's not good enough. Like they put that out. Like that's just part of
you
it.
You know what? Like what you just said, the stuff that they would have thrown out, we're like, that's our number one song. Yeah. That like becomes a number one hit. And they're like, wow, I didn't know. So I'm like, who is dumb in this space?
Everybody.
All of us.
But that's the truth, but it's taking longer. But like you look at even rap albums like back in the day, like Outkast, it's 3-4 years before a new album come out. You know, Future drop, you know, they dropping, the Young Thug dropping an album every year, like with different people. But I also think sometimes people, maybe it's because like people like Outkast and those people, they had a better control of their own music. And maybe the way the music is maybe the people who are controlling music are controlling, because everything's built on digital streams. I think maybe that's why. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it goes deeper into like their team and how it works for them to put out their work.
But I'm just saying the amount of time that people, like the guy who did the Game of Thrones or The Hobbit or the people who wrote those books, like those books were like 7 years a book. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we were talking to Peter Jackson one time and he was saying like he can't even watch Lords of the Rings. He just can't look at it. Nobody that did the movie can look at it because it was literally 20 years of their life. Like you got to think they did over 7 of those movies. Like each one of them was 3-4 years. It's just amazing that like the artistry that people, I think it maybe it's the lack of commitment to really truly digging into something that's really thought provoking and really sharing. Because sometimes even when people share their stuff on the music, it's like this is the most heartfelt music he's ever put out. And you listen to it, you're like, this shit sounds stupid as fuck.
I think also be due to the instant era that we're in. It's as much as like an artist might be like, I have to put it out because the people are wanting the next thing. It's like the lack of the listeners and the lack of the fans of putting the pressure to be like, oh, that was great last month, but what do you have for us this month? You know, it's like pressure on both sides that we might be getting really good stuff, but because we want the next thing already for, you know, our adrenaline just to keep pumping, we're going to throw that out or put it on the back burner. And we're like, our hand is out and like, okay, what else do you have? And I think sometimes that could be also pressure on the other side of the artist to do the same thing, is that they want more. They want more. I need to be relevant. My work needs to be relevant. You know,
so you're saying
their voice needs to be relevant. It's like there's this, you know, two magnets of opposite size and we're just like pushing, pushing, pushing.
Yeah. And I feel like even in athletics, it's kind of the same too, because it's like I see people on Instagram right now, like they're just trying to stay current. And it's probably because everybody has the same people managing them and they're just trying to stay current and try to whatever thing is happening, they're doing a video just to match it. It's like if that's not truly in you, then why do people continuously try to do it? And maybe that is right. Maybe you is right. It's this constant battle between being relevant and being stagnant. And I think people want to be relevant so much that they have to stay with the trends, whatever trend is somebody putting ice cream on their face and it's going to get viewers. Everybody put ice cream on their face.
New challenge.
That's a new challenge. It's just the challenge to be seen. Like, oh, and it's, and I think it's because this, I don't know. It's a weird time too, because it's almost sometime when everybody puts stuff out, you don't even know if there's any validation to it or what's the uniqueness to it. And I remember you were saying like how it was a couple of years ago, you were saying like Instagram had gotten in trouble for that and they had the people had to start putting what is sponsorships and stuff because those people have so big followings and like they say something, we thinking it's so true. Like, damn, he don't eat no Burger King. I'm about to just not eat Burger King. Is like you see him eating McDonald's and your whole dream, your whole face is just went down because you're like, dang, he had liposuction. He had me thinking he was eating healthy and he was damn.
There was a movie we watched one time and I can't remember the name of it. It was about ads.
Oh, yeah.
It had ads. And I know that like there's like what, like a few thousand you see ads daily. So now we're in this digital era where we are still being influenced through ads. Obviously, it's all online. But it's now I'm like, that thing has to have, you know, doubled or tripled now. Because now we're constantly seeing ads and we're being influenced without knowing. And so when we have these artists, we have social, we have so many different things pushing us, you know, in different directions. How do we as like our own being realize like what we really like? What do we really want to watch? How do we filter, you know, our thoughts out into like what it is that we want to take in? And I think that goes back into like your family, your friends, you know, surrounding people, not necessarily like-minded, but kind of like in directions that you feel that you want to go move towards.
The ad movie was really interesting too, because it's like, there's not too many free moments. And we probably mentioned this before.
Like, how do we get our
brains? We can't get our brain back. Our brains are not ours anymore. Once we come out the wound, we start to recognize brands, right? Like, you know, consumer.
But everyone's a brand now. If we're pushing into like besides the artists, and like the artists have to have their social following and they have to have all of that, and it's like constantly your own walking brand.
I hate that about my own podcast. I hate to say that my own fucking podcast that we have to put up a picture. I'm just like, can we just put it on, people listen to it? Because sometimes you just feel like it's just you're trying to build something, and it just feels like when you try, you're slowly losing a part of you trying to do something that you truly love, and it becomes like slowly part of you starts to become gimmicky, right? And I think everybody starts to slowly become gimmicky, and they don't even realize they're becoming gimmicky. Like, this is the first time in music history, like, Drake is like the biggest artist, and like nobody wants to dress like him, nobody's trying to be like him, you know what I'm saying? Like, and
you are right about that.
I'm saying, but before, like, DMX, like, oh man, oh, Jay-Z, I gotta get the S Carters. I gotta get them. Cash Money, I gotta put the Jabos on. It's because he don't even have a style. He don't really have a personality. He just kind of like, he blends and he makes music with people and then kind of takes their stuff and then make his own kind of thing, right? And it's kind of like, I feel like if in society, we all kind of like that. We all know, but we don't even want to be our own selves. So shit, it's hard for other people to want to be us. And I think it's hard because when you are truly being your own self, you get so much ridicule for it. It's like, even Roseanne Barr, like, I'm not saying when she was being racist that she was right, but she was just being her true self and saying what she want, how she really felt about being a comedian and joking. And she got so much ridicule for it, and she lost her whole career. And they basically took the Roseanne show, took her out the show and call it the Conners, and then killed her off in a mean, nasty way. She had sores, and then she had Ebola, and she got hit by a car. Like, I mean, that's what society will do to you if you really try to be yourself. So maybe you're right. It's like, why don't we all just be fake, right? Because being fake is really being real in this society, and being real is being fake.
When someone's telling you like, oh, be real or post something, that's not real, I can tell that's fake, or that was, you know, your team pushing it. It's just kind of funny because you're like, I am being real. But then it's like, wait, are you being real?
Exactly. No, you're right. We come into the situation, and I think this realization is just when you sit in the house and you start watching, and you look on Instagram and you look on TV, and then you just start to realize, like, damn, like, there's just this big wool, like, and everybody's so thirsty to stay relevant. It's like people are spending more time on Instagram than they did before. Like, yeah, I got to make sure the new, and then I get it because it's their job. But at the same time, when are we going to start being real again? When can the world be real again? When can we sit down and really look at somebody in the eye and really feel passion between two people? Like, people can't even, you know, look at each other in the eye without looking at the phone, or it's just getting to the point where maybe everything around us is becoming so fake that we don't even know what's real anymore.
No,
we're living in the matrix.
Okay, now we're not high.
We're not high, people. We're trying
to
wake you up.
We're living in the matrix.
We're living in the matrix. Think about it, though. Like, think about it. Like, everything you do, like, you're dressed, every how you look, like, you're so consumed by it. Like, you find yourself on Pinterest, and, like, you're doing, like, it's like you don't know what is reality.
I was thinking of Deepak Chopra. He was talking about where he was saying, we start putting titles on ourselves. Mm. And he said, the more titles we put on our, and this is not word for word, but it was something similar. The more titles we put on ourselves as a person, it actually closes us in.
Ooh. Why you just?
It closes us in. It doesn't keep us free from being whatever we want to be. And I think that this is kind of closing in on what we're trying to say, is that you continuously put these titles on you, on yourself, through your work, through your lifestyle, through whatever it is. But I could see that as it being bars to making you a prison of those things. When in reality, we want to do so many things, and we want to just live life to its fullest. And by that, it's like trying everything you want to try in life and pursuing it. You know, if it fails, it fails, but you tried it. And I think, like, just freeing yourself from those titles and freeing yourself from that prison space of, you know, all these different influences that we have on a daily basis, and just really come into your own and journaling those ideas from your own mind, from your own thoughts, and using that through your passion and your creativeness to find, you know, what your path is. And when you find that path, or you see that vision and you can see it from a distance, just continue on there and keep moving forward. And, you know, try to block out all of those different distractions, but move on your path that you created for yourself.
All right, everybody, it's that time of the week where we kind of, you know, have our little pro tip, and Pele does her little thing. Sometimes we respectfully disagree on certain things, but at the same time, we still love each other.
So today's pro tip, we want to include journaling. Journaling on a daily basis of not only what you did for the day, but maybe your thoughts for that day or your opinions on something, your vision for the future on topics that, you know, are going to come sooner than later. We don't know, but just journaling on your thoughts and ideas for yourself.
Thank you, guys.
That's it. That's it. That's the end. You don't have to listen to Michael anymore, but come back next week for me on another episode of Mouthpiece with Michael and me, Helle Bennett.
Please subscribe to us or like us on anything that you're listening to. Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, whatever you're listening to get away from your family, whoever you don't want to be around. And make sure you rate us or give us a comment. Even though we don't give a fuck about your comments, give us a comment. Mouthpiece is a production of Lemonade Media, which you can find online on all social platforms at Lemonade Media. You can follow me on social media at MosesBread72. I love bread, and biblically, I always thought I was Moses.
And you can follow me on Instagram at Pelle Pels. Mouthpiece with Michael and Pelle Bennett is executive produced by us, the Bennetts. Mouthpiece is also executive produced by Stephanie Whittles-Wax and Jessica Cordova-Kramer, and of course, the whole team at Lemonade Media. Our producer is Genevieve Garrity, and our show is edited by Brian Castillo. Thank you to our ad sales and distribution partners at Westwood One and to all of our sponsors for making this show possible.
Thank you for listening. We'll be back. We'll be back next week. We'll be back, back. Make sure you tune in.
Lemonada. Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere, and suddenly you're panic sweating and laughing at the same time? Don't worry. We all get that. It's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people, and we want to talk about it. Join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrushed are out on April 24th, wherever you get your podcasts.